So today we're going to look at a statement that he makes in Proverbs 21 at verse 5. And again, I really can't, as I look at this, see any coherent theme to the book of Proverbs. There's no progress to it. It just seems like it's statements that are kind of cut up and they come at you rapid fire. Proverbs 21 at verse 5, he says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but to everyone that is hasty, hasteth only to want." Today is a comparison between diligence and hastiness. And as we begin that, it's suggested that there are some components to diligence. That makes some sense. Let me ask a question. As you looked at this, what do you think is the most important component of diligence? There is no right and wrong question, right and wrong answer to this. What do you think is the most important? And then I'm going to ask you the follow-up question, why? Yeah, Bob.
I would think your attitude would be the most important.
Okay. Didn't even list that one. But it's a good thought. Why?
Well, your attitude represents how you feel inside about your diligence
Okay.
and who you're doing it for. Are you doing it for yourself? Or are you doing it for a higher being?
Okay. Okay. Good point. Yeah, Margaret.
Patience, because sometimes it takes a while.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Kim.
Combine the two of them, care and thoughtfulness, because I think the careful thoughtfulness,
Okay.
careful thoughtfulness will produce the rest of it, the thoroughness, hard work, and steady improvement, and with the right attitude and the patience. But diligence is hard, it's not easy, so I think the most important component is the starting component, which I would think is careful thoughtfulness.
Okay. So you would start there. And I like your point. It's not easy to be diligent. Yeah.
I was just saying, I think the hardest part is thoroughness, is finishing what you start.
Okay.
For me, I mean, I'm great at starting stuff, man, and I get great ideas, and I get started, and then it kind of fizzles out because I'm not diligent like I should be. So I think that's the hardest part for me. The careful thoughtfulness, if I start on the right foot, I am more likely to use the hard work to be thorough.
Well, that's interesting. If you start on the right foot, you're more apt to follow through.
I think for me, that's my experience.
Okay. Yeah, Carol.
Reflecting is a very good thing to tie with diligence. It's not really diligence, but sometimes a person can get so focused on a goal that they take a wrong step and they don't always reframe what they're doing and look at what God wants them to do. So sometimes I'm going to do this class, I'm going to do this and whatever, but you're not ending up in the right spot of reflecting.
That's really interesting. I have read several, of course, I read a lot about people who get burned out and a lot of it is directed at people who are ministers. Why do ministers get burned out? A lot of what they say is, you get burned out because you get so caught up in doing minutia that you forget what the overall goal is. And that can happen. That can happen. Happens to us to us all. We get so tied up in the minutia that we forget the goal.
So what is minutia?
It's the little bitty picky details that have to be taken care of. And we get, it's so easy to do that. And I'm not a detail person, as everybody can tell. I forgot to send out the invitations this morning. I sent the description of everything that was going on, invited everybody to be here today, and forgot to give them the invitations so that they could be here. So we get tied up in the minutia, and we forget that we're here to worship. And, I really liked Bob's songs this morning. It kind of calls us back to what we're really here for. But yeah, that's being diligent. Being busy is not the same as being effective. Anybody else? What do you think is most important about diligence? Yeah, Lee. Sticking to it. Why? Yes, and she's not part of the Godhead, but she's right below that. Yeah. Steady improvement. Why that?
We're never going to be perfect. And sometimes we stick our foot in the mouth, even though we are trying to get to be heaven. We stumble along the way, and I think steady improvement is good. That's why I would look for always improvement.
Does a single failure tend to destroy our diligence?
No, I don't think so. I think that we, when you put down steady, that means that to increase or work with you. So you're going to stumble once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, Kim.
The notes here, the way that define steady improvement, or the author did, one who is diligent in his work patiently strive for progress. So that ties in what Margaret said with striving for progress. He sees advancement as the fruit of persistence and toil. He tries to do a better job, for quality means something to him. And I think where we start, or I start, I'll just speak from experience, where I start to get discouraged and I have a hard time with that patience is when I do have the failure in the process. Because I'm not always going to have that steady improvement that's positive. Sometimes I have setbacks. And then I get discouraged. And then I lose the patience. So I think that steady improvement is important, too.
Carol.
Focus. You think about a child learning to walk. Their focus is on learning to walk, and they may not be careful or thoughtful about it. They're really just trying to put all the pieces together. They don't know what's going on, but their focus is on God or walking or whatever it is, and so long as you are focused.
Yeah, that's a good point. How many people tried to stay up with the Bible reading program we started last year? How many people didn't skip a day? Did you get behind? And it destroyed your diligence because you got behind. It is making steady improvement is a really critical part of this, I think. So let's think about the arenas where we need to be diligent. Which do you think, I'm not going to ask which do you think is the most important, because everybody's going to say we need, it's most important to be diligent in the Lord's work. But do you see them as related to each other? are people who are diligent about doing God's work, people who are diligent about business, for the most part. Yeah, it just seems like diligence is the kind of thing that permeates your whole life. If you're diligent, that's the kind of person you are. Somebody told me when I was applying for a job that one of the most important things I could do is wash my car and clean it out. That didn't make much sense to me. But if you're applying for a job, a lot of times your employer, your prospective employer, will watch for you to drive into the parking lot. And if you show up in a dirty car with all kinds of Starbucks cups in the floorboard of the passenger side, they're going to make the assumption that that's the way you are. And because you're not diligent about taking care of your stuff, you're not going to be diligent about taking care of his stuff. So he doesn't want you to be in that position. And people, I'm looking at the crowd, and what I see is everybody that's had a job is going, yeah, that's true. That's true. That's the way it tends to be. Don't look at my desk. Okay. But we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent about the business that we do, about our learning. We need to be diligent about the Lord's work, about doing what God wants us to do. So, contrast that with being hasty. Hasty activity is characterized by not taking time to think. How many of us had to do a job and we immediately jumped in with both feet and we started doing something without thinking it through, without thinking about how this was going to create a problem down the road? I do that. How many people, when they load the dishwasher, have to load it three times? I do, because I put stuff in when it's empty. I just start putting stuff in, and I don't think about the fact that I need to organize the first things that I put in there, because that will make it easier to put the other stuff in there. Anybody else have that problem? When you pack your closet or your storage unit, you don't just start putting stuff in there. You have to think about what you're doing. And if you don't think about what you're doing, you wind up making extra work for yourself. Yeah, Carol.
There's a picture and there's little picture. Saw a show recently, and a young man stopped at somebody's house, and the light bulb was out. So he offered to put the light bulb in, and his jacket tore, and he was on his way to an interview. So she loaned him a big suit of the husband sort of thing, and he was late. And of course, he didn't put on a good opinion of himself, and he wasn't doing any of these neighborhood type things. But the young man was doing what he was supposed to do. He was active in his community. He was active. So sometimes what other people see is in the big picture, they don't see the little picture, and so they don't see that you're actually doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Okay. Good point. Good point, Bob.
I was just going to say that life can be kind of like a pool game. A good pool player is always two or three shots ahead of where he's at.
Okay.
And he's always thinking about what could happen here, what could happen there, and setting things up.
Yeah.
It's good to be that way in life sometimes.
Yeah. Kim?
When we were doing the chronological reading, one of the characters that really stood out to me, and I went back and I really studied him a lot more, was Nehemiah. And I love the way that he diligently planned out rebuilding the city and rebuilding the temple. And things kind of lined up and got in place for him. He took his time. He found out the right resources, asked the right questions, asked the king who for resources, and it was given to him. He was trusted. I think the opposite to that is he probably would not have been as successful if he was hasty. And I think when I jump in with both feet and kind of do something hastily, I think people who have some competencies can probably pull it off pretty well. But you look back at it and you say, you know, I could have done that a lot better. And I kind of messed it up. And had I really been diligent about it, it would have been a better product. And so I think that a hasty approach, like the wise man said, it in my version says leads to poverty. So it leads to something that's not as rich, not as full, not as complete. And it might be, you know, you can kind of pull it off, but it's not really what it needs to be. And I don't want to ever approach the Lord's work that way. I want to be more like Nehemiah. So I've gone back and I've thought a lot about Nehemiah. His approach. He's an interesting character in the Old Testament.
Right. And you know, it seems like we live in a hasty culture. One of the things about selling that really bothers me is this is a great deal. If you don't take it right, if you don't take it right now, it'll be gone. No, if it's a good deal, it'll still be here tomorrow. You know, that haste, we're always worried, but we're going to lose the deal. And we make bad decisions because of it. Steady activity opposed to get rich quick. We talked about that a little bit. And, you know, being hasty makes us pursue shortcuts. How many of you know what Cliff's Notes are? Okay. All us old guys, we know what Cliff's Notes are. You're supposed to read War and Peace. It's about that thick. And you think, no, I'm not going to read War and Peace. I'll just read the Cliff's Notes. So we take shortcuts. Because we don't want to put in the time to really read what we're supposed to be reading. Okay. And if you do that, you miss the richness of the novel. You're not going to get it in the Cliff's Notes. And we do that with Bible study. And I'll end here. This is, I guess this is one of my pet peeves. We don't read our Bibles thoroughly. When we do Bible study, we sometimes think what we need to do is look at every instance where this word appears and check them all out. But we're just looking at little bits and snatches, and we're not really reading the whole thing. And when you do that, you can draw some really bad conclusions if you're not careful. So Yeah, Andrew.
I see that a lot. You see it a lot when you try to speak to what Jason Paul says. They just take a small little snippet that Paul says or that Peter said, and then they run with that. But they don't look at the whole picture. They don't look at what he said before that and what he said after that. They just take that small snippet. And we can easily fall into that too. We get to take that small little portion, and then we can take it out of context.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, yeah, Kim.
Just to say another danger for me that I fall into is I like reading other people's works. And so I will read like some, you know, a devotional or a Bible study aid of some type, and then not really dive into the scriptures. And so I kind of focus on that and think, oh, yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, I get that. And then I kind of hang on to that. And I think I've studied the Bible. And I haven't. I've not really looked at the word. I've looked at what someone else has said about the word. And whether it's right or wrong, I mean, sometimes it's some really cool stuff. I find some people are very thoughtful. And they have written some great things that are of great encouragement. I've learned a lot. But I haven't gotten into the scriptures. I haven't gotten into the word. Because I just take a snippet of it and then I read what someone else has thought about it. And that's enriching. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that I can't replace Bible study with that.
Yeah.
And that's a danger that I have.
Yeah, I read an article. There's a book out called People of the Screen. Really interesting book. And he makes the point in that book, People of the Screen, that people of the Bible have become people of the screen because we want to let somebody else interpret it for us. And that's a danger. That's a real danger. Now, I am a guy who advocates for searchability. I love that my Bibles search themselves. I have them on my computer, and I use that all the time. It can be a danger. Yeah, Ted.
I'm definitely talking about parables, allowing somebody to take a statement that is kind of confusing and try to make a movie out of it. And they made that movie Noah, where this the sons of God married his daughters and men, and all of a sudden that becomes some mythical creature, that angelic being, or something like that. When they take this artistic liberty to take something out of the Bible, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, John.
Things that I noticed that they're not affected by the whirlwind of everything else that's going on around them. They have a mindset that enables them to kind of put that in second place all.
Okay. Good point. Well, we've used up our time for our study of Proverbs.